Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Do you wish you knew the saints better? Overwhelmed with all the events in Catholic history and just wish you could tie it all together? It's tough work, and even scientists have determined that it takes approximately 400 repetitions to create a new synapse in the brain. Unless it is done with play, in which case it takes between 10 and 20 repetitions. Introducing Saint Cards, where the facts about saints and history are presented in fun and engaging games for ages 4 to 104. Check out Saint Cards at saintcards.com and begin the fun for your family, school, and parish today.
Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
What are you doing this Lent? The St. Paul Center is streaming their newest video Bible study for free starting Ash Wednesday. Based on Scott Hahn's renowned covenantal theology, this is a study no one should miss. Invite your friends, Catholic or not. Don't miss your chance to see this premium study for free. Go to stpaulcenter.com to sign up today.
Welcome to another episode of the Frank Friar Podcast. I'm your friendly neighborhood Carmelite, the Frank Friar, a.k.a. Father Nicholas, reporting to you all. That's right, from the Bronx here in New York City. Today, I want to talk a little bit about the Transfiguration. That was the gospel passage that we heard from this past Sunday, the second Sunday of Lent. And one of the things that always struck me in the passage of the Transfiguration we received, it leads us up into the point where suddenly Jesus is now just standing before the three apostles, Peter, James, and John, and we're not given the part of them going down the mount. But as a Carmelite, this moment of the Transfiguration has always struck me as something that is both beautiful, but a warning at the same time. Now, what do I mean? Well, one of the big words within Carmelite spirituality, and it's not just limited to our spirituality, but there's this concept of detachment. We have to make sure our hearts are free of things that may pull our gaze away from the loving gaze of Jesus Christ. And these attachments can be formed in a multitude of ways on a multitude of different things. And of course, the big stuff that forms attachments are kind of clear to us, for lack of a better word. We know we can form attachments to alcohol that becomes addiction. You know, there's pornography that is a plague in our world. You know, maybe it might be gossiping, these sort of big things. But one of the wisdom aspects that comes out of the dangers of our attachment within the land of Carmel from some of our great spiritual leaders, like John of the Cross, Teresa of Avila, and many, many others, is that attachments can even form to good experiences that we might have had with God. And we can take that good encounter, that moment of maybe consolation, and twist it and turn it and make it into a little God. So we're no longer serving the Lord God, but our God, my God. I hear quite often, regularly, people speaking about, well, my Jesus, my Jesus, my Jesus. And then when I ask them questions describing, you know, hey, describe to me your Jesus. Tell me about your Jesus. I can see that they have this facsimile of Jesus. Now, that, of course, has become an idol. Now, do I yell at that person and say to their face, oh, you're an idolater, and et cetera? No, but I try to ask questions and other things that help to bring about a sense of awareness that this person that they have cultivated in their mind that they call their Jesus is not the true Jesus. There's aspects of them that are rooted upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, but it is not the true Jesus. And they are, in a way, worshiping at some level within their heart and their mind an idol. You know, and I mentioned in previous podcasts before that Carmelite spirituality is really a spirituality that combats over and against idolatry, something I see very, very present in the Western world, and I bet in a variety of different aspects all over the world. So there's this moment of the Transfiguration where the three apostles have Christ transfigured before them, and he suddenly reveals a bit of his glory to them. And then just as it seems, as quick as that comes about, and Peter wants to remain in that moment, there's suddenly the de-transfiguration where Jesus returns back to this quote-unquote everyday normal state that he appears to be in and before his apostles. And then they go back down the mountain. And there's been a lot of commentary about, like, we have these great spiritual moments, but we always got to go back down the mountain and be with the people and et cetera. And part of our lives as Christians, when we have these profound moments of consolation, is how to have a relationship with them that is not destructive in our ordinary and everyday movement of life. One of the insights that come from John of the Cross is the danger that comes from worshiping and celebrating and staying attached to a profound moment of consolation with God. And suddenly, you know, you're doing anything and everything that you can to have that spiritual high again. You know, trying to jump from one thing to another, to another, to another, to hopefully bring about a movement that'll bring back that blessedness and all the sensations that go along with that. But it's utterly out of our control because it requires the action of another, and that other is God. And we can't force God to do anything that he ain't going to want to do that's against, over and against his own will. Now, this is not a fun topic. This is not a joyful topic, but it is a necessary topic because we always have to work towards a conversion of heart, even in relationship to who we conceive Jesus to be in our own lives. We put forward many sort of Jesuses. You know, there's the profane, you know, sort of historical Jesus that's just stripped of any and all of his sort of divine aspect, and he's just become some sort of wise moral sage. Well, they forget that that wise moral sage said that he was also God. So, of course, that brings us to the great insight from C.S. Lewis that says, you know, Christ is either a lunatic, liar, or the Lord, based on what he said and what he did, as recorded within the Gospels and some other historical things around that time that have been maintained throughout history. And Lent is a time where we confront these false gods, where we try to become open to the fact that, yeah, I'm worshiping something that may not be the Lord. The nada, nada, nada of St. John of the Cross, nothing but the Lord, means that we have to be willing to allow these strands of attachment that have been maybe built and fed by a certain sense of joy that might have come from that moment of consolation. You know, there's a barrenness before us always in our relationship to Christ, because to journey deeper into the profound sacred heart of Jesus Christ means that we must go in and through the cross. And it is through the cross that these little strands that bind our heart brings about a freedom so we can truly rejoice in the joy of the Holy Spirit. And that is why Carmel isn't a spirituality that necessarily flees from the cross and just merely focuses on the resurrection of Jesus. But we always see the resurrection from the perspective of the cross, because it's in the resurrection that the very proof of the depth of God's love for us is revealed to us. Now, the power of that love is made known in the resurrection. Edith Stein, a woman I hope that will become a doctor of the church someday, God willing, she wrote profusely about this in her final text, you know, The Science of the Cross, one of the English translated titles because she wrote in German. So may the transfiguration in those blessed moments where the Lord exposes himself to us in an aspect of his glory within our lives aid us and give us the necessary openness to the Spirit to allow us to continue to journey ever more deeper into the heart of Christ by that gift of courage, never settling for a facsimile of Jesus, but hungering to be truly one who can rest upon his sacred heart as the blessed and saintly apostle John did at the Last Supper. Thank you very much for your time today, my brothers and sisters. Know that I'm with you. Know that I'm praying for you, and may God continue to bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. If you like what I'm doing here in my podcast, please make sure to click that subscribe button, and if it's possible, leave a little review. Also, if you want more of my content, head on over to my website, thefrankfriar.com. There on my website, thefrankfriar.com, you can find links to my Catholic Stand articles, my blog posts, you can find photos from my travels, Carmelite memes for backgrounds for your phone, and etc. You can also find YouTube videos, or you can email me through the contact page, or if you're discerning a vocation to religious life or priesthood, you can email me through the vocation tab. Thank you again for your time today, my brothers and sisters. Know that I'll be praying for you.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.
CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic healthcare ministry to provide an affordable health-sharing solution rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast. That's mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast.